Welcome to the Chasing Freedom Show. I'm Noah Evans, and on this show, I'm going to creatively break down real estate deals with top investors across the country to help you become closer to achieving financial freedom. Alrighty, let's get to it. What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Chasing Freedom Show. Today, I've got a pretty awesome guest. You probably know him. You probably love him. It's my cousin, Cody Cooley, out of Florida. And this is going to be a fun episode. I was waiting for Cody to ask me when he wanted to come on. And I asked him the other day, I was like, hey, dude, when are you going to ask to come on the show? And he's like, no, I've been waiting for you to ask me. So here we are 41 episodes in and Cody's never been a guest on the show. So I figured it's about time.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me. Yeah. We had that conversation yesterday. I think it's always been a little competition between you and I, friendly competition, but yeah, I was waiting for you to give in.
Yeah, no, dude, I'm excited to have you on. You've really blown up in the last couple of months here, and it's been really exciting for me and fun to watch you really gain your momentum and really just start blowing it up with what you're doing. And I think your perspective, because it's fresh, I think it'll be more, how do I say that? It'll be more interesting for the guests to listen to, especially those who are looking to get started and start to go deep into real estate, because you're going through it now and you're in it, right? There's a lot of guys who come on and they've been doing acquisitions for 6-7 plus years. And it's like some of the stuff that's happening and working for them is simply, it's a function of how long they've been in the game. So it's not necessarily a great representation of how to get started because they did it so long ago. The industry changes every year. So yeah, I'm excited for this episode, brother. Well, let's jump into what is it that got you started in real estate? Like why real estate? You really could have done anything.
So funny story real quick. Actually, you got me into real estate. I'm always a firm believer in, you know, things do happen for a reason. I remember taking, my neighbors would pick me up from school and she asked me, you know, what do you want to do one day? I just want to be a millionaire. I know I will be one. You and I would always joke around like, how can we get rich? We could buy Lamborghinis, mm-hmm. like have a ton of dogs. That's just what you love. And so I really thought about it and just popped into my head, real estate. Well, flash forward 10, 12 years. I was still lifeguarding. You had just moved out and you had said, you know, you were doing real estate, but you had kept following up with some lady and you finally closed the deal. And I was like, you don't have your license. What do you mean? Anyways, you planted the seed, visited you while you were in Washington. And how professional you kind of held yourself up and people were calling you. And I was like, how are you doing these deals? It doesn't make sense. Flash forward again. When I was living in Oregon, you were in Idaho and you were doing deals with people in Idaho. And you said, hey, I want to show you how to do this. And you took my hand, threw me in a deep water. You said, call these buyers. If you could sell this deal, you know, you'll get a portion of it. And I was just happy to like, you know, test it out. Like I didn't know where to start. I didn't know how to start. I didn't know anything about it. So we were pretty much just calling people. I remember called like 40 people, looking up people on Facebook, random people that you had already talked to. They're like, is this the deal with Noah? And, I think it was you and Jeff at the time. And I was like, yeah, I think so. I was like, you guys like it? They're like, no,
it's a bad deal.
Yeah. Anyways, so we, I didn't bring anybody. And, it was somebody who we actually talked to before though. And then they had actually come and checked out the property and, you know, you made the deal work with them. I think you and Jeff at the time, the very first deal, you made it work with them. They ended up buying the property. And it worked. And then, you know, you said, hey, you didn't even tell me anything. You just literally handed me a check. I remember I went to the bank with you and you're like, hey, I think it was $800. You're like, hey, here's $800. You know, you really proved yourself. And that's really important though. That proof of concept check. That's all it was. And, you know, ever since that, I think we were calling every single day on the phone. Like how to start a business up, how to do this, how to mm-hmm. do that. And you just went exponential. And I was kind of like, how do I do this? How do I do this? But that's pretty much what got me started in real estate.
That's awesome, dude. It's funny because I look back and also when I look forward, and I one of the weird things I always like to do is I always like to imagine what people would say at my funeral. Like what legacy do I leave behind? And one of the most important things that I want is I just want to open up doors for my friends and family. That brings me more impact than the check at the end of a flip or project actually brings me, is how much impact am I leaving behind? And it's cool to hear you share that story. And sometimes it's even hard to remember that really wasn't even that long ago. Right. And it feels like decades ago. But I think that's the nature of things when you just move quick. Right. So, that's awesome, man. And one of the things I wanted to point out to people is along your journey, especially there in the beginning, you know, there was doubt, there was fear, but there was one thing that there was never a lack of. There was never a lack of action. You always took action, right? Like whether or not you fully believed in a process or if something was going to work, you were always at least willing to try it out. And I think that's what separated you from all the other people who say that they want to do it and never get anywhere, is action. You were always willing to hop on the phone, to make a phone call, to call somebody up, regardless of what that outcome looked like. Because we can't control the outcome. We can only control the input, right? And so you focused on the input. Well, hey, I can put in the time. I can put in the effort. I can go the extra mile. I can make that extra phone call that everybody else doesn't want to make. And what were the results? You end up closing deals, right? So it was funny because at that same time that you and I had started doing some stuff together, there's a bunch of people that were starting to call me and ask me, how do we do this? How do I get started? And I was really just trying to be careful about how much time I put into to everybody, because not everybody was taking action. And I don't want to waste my time with people who are, they want the advice, but they don't want to take any steps further. They just think that it's going to be quick and easy, right? Because they saw where I was at and that I was doing deals, and they thought, okay, I could just step into that. They didn't realize that I was already 12 to 16 months into failing, right? Failing forward, constantly trying, deals not happening, deals getting taken from me, deals falling apart. And I had a couple successes, but that just, it takes time, right? And you know that. How long did it take you to get your first deal?
On it, I think I actually got really lucky. Between you and I partnering up on that first one, or letting me in on that first one, I really didn't want anything else, and I really didn't have a choice. You know, when there's a point of no return, I quit my job.
It was awesome, dude.
Not right after that $800, but you were like kind of counseling me through it. Like, you can do it. You can definitely do it. And you start to see quick success. And that's not always true. Not at all. But I actually got really lucky through an SMS campaign. And I sent a lady like three texts. Mm-hmm. And then she's like, hey, is this a spam? And it was 3 months in. And we ended up closing our first deal together, actually. But before that, man, we've had our fair share of heartaches. I mean, there was a 100,000 deal that fell through the cracks.
Yeah.
You remember we locked that up and then it literally fell through. And you know how hard that is to come back from that and then like still keep going. Mm-hmm. But I mean, we still persisted, but yeah, it was 3 months into it. But yeah, I do want to touch up on something real quick. I think that's really important because a lot of people do see like quick and easy success. And like, that is not the case at all. I've seen you and you've seen me. And I remember when you were living in Yakima, Washington, I mean, struggling for a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And thankfully you had some good people where you almost lost your wholesale check and the guy still cut it to
mm-hmm.
you. And then you moved to Idaho and it was still struggling. And you had put all your money into real estate. And I was just like, hey, you know, he's doing it. I know, no, I can do it. That's how we've always been, though. Mm-hmm. Just, it's competitive, but it's friendly. And long story short, you know, it took me 3 months. But before that, before real estate, I was watching you the whole time. So I kind of was able to learn a little quicker.
Well, yeah, you absolutely. And that's, to me, that makes me excited. You got I call it the fast track, right? Because you got to, and this is an important part I want people to understand. You were able to tag along with me on the deals, right? On the first couple to get a much faster track record to success. Because I stumbled along. It took me 8 months from the day I decided that I was going all in on real estate to actually closing my first wholesale deal. And you got to do it in 3, which makes me so excited because honestly, dude, but with that 8 month period of time between me deciding I was going to do it back in 2017 and me actually closing a deal, dude, I was at my wit's end. Like that 8th month, I don't know how much longer I would have held in there. I was super grateful that that deal closed because my patience was paper thin at that point. So yeah, and we talked about that a lot in your beginning, how important just an early win really is. But the early win doesn't have to be a deal. Before I closed that deal 8 months into me deciding that I was going to go all into real estate in 2017, I'd actually put something under contract about 90 days in, but I put it under contract and didn't have any buyers to give it to. So it just didn't end up going anywhere. But that small win kept me going because it showed me it's possible to lock something up, undervalue and sell to someone, still have it be a good deal, and they can still go make money on it. So anyways, let's move forward a little bit more now into your journey. What's going on now? What are you doing?
So right now, I'm actually in Florida. So jump from Oregon. I didn't actually ever focus. I remember you, I never really focused out in Oregon. I didn't really, personally, I didn't want to go into that market because I knew I didn't want to live there. So it was Idaho. Now it's Florida. And then actually most recently it's Tennessee, and I'll jump back to Florida. It's not necessarily the market. The market's hot out here. It's great. It's amazing. Me personally, I just didn't have luck, and dibbling back a little bit, I have to, after that third deal or the 3 months into that first deal, I didn't get another month until like 8 months in after that. It was a huge dry spell and I didn't change anything. It just happens. I was calling consistently, texting, all that good stuff. But so I stopped working in the Florida market for a bit. I still have some leads I follow up with here and there, but now it's full-time, Tennessee. And you know, when people kind of, somebody plants something in your head, actually our buddy Dallin, he had said, you know, well, why don't you just find like a Jeff? Like, why don't you, like, Noah's good at what he does. Jeff is good at what he does. And at the time, it was Rocket Fuel for you both. And I actually started reading that book, Rocket Fuel. And I've never really liked being dependent on another person. But, you know, as far as your sanity and, like, people always talk about a team. You don't really understand how far you can go until you actually have a team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have Sam and you have all your other guys that you work with. Justin, even though it might be small things that they get done, it puts you so much further. So now I'm in the Tennessee market and I actually partnered up with Nate Lindquist. He's actually my business partner. And even still, you know, we're testing out our relationship and we're just doing great, but it was just rocket fuel. I handled everything from systems and acquisitions, and he literally handles the construction and dispositions. And he is, I mean, he knows everybody in that community. So he is a great fit, boots on the ground. And, you know, from the acquisition standpoint, I've already done that. So nothing changes. We just hired more cold callers to put them in those places. And that's currently what we got going on right now.
Why is that powerful? Let's dive a little bit deeper there. Let's start with how did you find Nate? How did you figure out that you guys would be good together? What did that look like? Like, what things were you looking for in somebody to trust them enough to go into multiple deals with them, right? And then I'd love to hear what does that structure look like and what are some things that you're doing to set that up the right way to build a good foundation for a partnership?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm a firm believer that you will get burned within your lifetime. With people that you work with, and not everybody's compatible. So like, how did I first get started in that market and meet Nate? Well, I actually was looking for a property for my parents. And this is how I kind of discovered that, you know, Tennessee was a little bit better for me at the time. I still, again, think Florida's a great market. I will come back to that. But I started finding properties where they were just untouched in certain rural areas where my parents were looking for. And like you had said at the beginning, you know, being able to use your expertise or helping people and like guide them or train them or make their life better. I wanted to find a house because my parents were putting offers in. It wasn't a money thing. It was literally getting outbid for, you know.
Yeah. You want,
I'm sorry, but for some garbage.
Yeah, and you wanted to find them a good deal. You know, you were very passionate about that and you really wanted to find them a deal where like there was equity day one, you know? So I think that's, I had forgotten about that part of the story and it just goes to show like you learn in real estate, you don't get paid for your time and people get that mixed up, right? Like you had an 8-month spur of not getting paid for all of your work. You guys know how hard that is. Like that's emotionally draining to feel like you're just spinning your wheels. You get paid for value. And people forget that, right? The more value you can add to the people around you, the more you'll get paid. But it's so different. We're all used to this world. Like schools teach us what? You show up, you put in the work, you get a good grade, you passed. Jobs teach you what? You show up, you clock in, you clock out, you get a paycheck. It's not how entrepreneurship works and it's not how real estate works. You don't just show up and get a paycheck for being there and being present. You show up and you get a paycheck for adding value. And when you get really good at value, you don't even have to show up, which is crazy. So anyways, I just wanted to put that out there because it's the proof is in the pudding there. You were out seeking to add value. And then we'll jump right back into the story. Sorry.
No, you bring up a great point. I think that's something that I struggled with at the beginning because it was like, how do I know this is going to pay off? Just trust in the process. It works. So anyways, I find a property. I do everything that I know how to swap. I'm pretty good at swapping markets. So boom, pivot, adjust, market. Okay, went for it. It's funny, my last name's Culey, and my parents are like, I just want some acreage for the dogs. I want a house, colonial style, whatever. This lady, a literal white house, white and black house, on a hill, 6 acres, you know, super cute colonial style, 5-bed pool, everything that they had, with a K on the door. Because their last name, I forgot what their last name was, but I showed my parents and they're like, hey, this is great. But at the same time, you know, we want to make a move. We don't really want to spend $500,000. They're transferring from one property to another. They still want to have some equity, some cushion, and for some investing stuff too. So anyways, I wasn't mad. You know, it makes total sense. So cool. Throw that to the wayside. They end up meeting a realtor that I came in contact with. They got a house. And so I was like, man, everybody's so nice. And people were calling me back in Tennessee. Like, hey, you know, are you still interested in buying that property? And I'm like, absolutely. You know, people are calling me right when they get off work. So I'm like, this is different. I'm talking to Alia, my fiance. And I'm like, people are so different here. Like, why is everybody so nice? Anyways, I start marketing more. And then boom, lead after lead after lead. Keep in mind, I'm not closing these deals yet. But I said, hey, who's that guy that you know in Tennessee? Because you had said, you know, hey, send this deal to Nate. And I was like, all right, I'll send it to him. He said, you know, I'm not interested in that deal, but send me other deals that you got. Cool. All right. So I'm like, hey, man, can you be boots on the ground? You know, I really don't care if we go 50-50. I just found this deal. Your boots on the ground. If you want to be dispositions, I think that's fair. Anyways, I call him up. And I'm explaining the story and he's like, 123 Main Street. Are you kidding me? I'm like, yeah, why? He's like, I literally just had an appointment with them. And I'm like, what? Shut up. No, that's not true. I was like, over on 123 Main Street. He's like, yeah. And so his buddy from California was using Nate as his boots on the ground and partnering up to go check it out. And I was asking Nate if he could check it out. And we were going to the same property. And like confidently, but like jokingly, I told Nate, I was like, hey, let me know what you need to lock this property up for. I'll get it for you. And I said, and this is part of providing value too. I said, I will give you this deal completely for free just to build a relationship and to tell you I'm serious. And he was like, well, shoot, like, I mean, if you can, let's do it. And so I was negotiating wholesale. I was negotiating seller financing. And I'm like, just let me know. I could get it for seller financing for this or wholesale for this. And I actually, we waited and we're competing and competing. And this unfortunately does happen. That's why I'm not a fan of competition in real estate. Because if you could partner up, everybody gets a piece of the pie. But if you butt heads, they sold to the neighbor.
And man, so nobody got it.
No, but you know, that's okay. It's part of the process.
What did you learn in that? What would you have done differently to snag that deal if you could time travel backwards there?
You know, I didn't want to put Nate in a bad situation. So if I could go back, I wanted to keep his relationship healthy, but also too, I have to take a third person perspective. His buddy found this property. I found this property. Nate's in the middle. He's checking it out. You know, I can only assume that his buddy might say like, really? Like, your buddy got in contact on the same day? And I had just met Nate. And I was like, I can't do that, you know? So I have to kind of take a step back and I'll do the best that I can for negotiations. Let him go first, whatever. In a perfect world, I would have hopped on a phone with Nate's buddy, told him the situation, and I would have said, hey, instead of having competing bids, let's try to lock it up tonight. If you guys want to do a 33 split, cool. If that didn't work, I'd say, hey, you know, you guys found it first to strengthen this relationship. I know we're going to do more deals. I would have just taken a profit cut. And actually, that's one thing that you are really good at. From the beginning of time in real estate that you've done, you've always, you know, always taken a cut if it needs, but you're also willing to stand your ground. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really important. You're not one to be taken advantage of, but at the same time, if there's a relationship to be built, you'll always take a pay cut.
Absolutely, dude. Because what does that do? Like, I'm actually really excited to this next part of your story. You being so willing to consider the relationships with Nate and with not only Nate, but Nate's relationships, right? Like, that extended beyond just your circle. But I think that showed a higher level of thinking because you were considering his circle as well. So now what did it turn into? Give us the present day view of the relationship with Nate and what your business looks like because of it.
Yeah. It's honestly, it was like, so that relationship, I'm like kind of speechless a little bit because it went from like nothing to the moon. Like, it is crazy. And our first month, so I have to touch up a little bit on, you know, after that deal, nobody got it. You know, Jonathan knows about me. I know about him and Nate knows about us. And I told Nate, I said, hey, Nate had gotten contact with this other company called REI Sift, and it's a data company, data management, I should say, amazing tool. And I use them in my business. And Nate said, you know, I paid for all these courses. I love the product. I'm just not good at it. Like, I'm not good at that. And I said, boom. Like, that is my bread and butter. Like, when you came down to Florida, we're on vacation. I'm like cleaning up my data, like messing around. You're like, what is that? I'm like, REI Sift. So little plug for REI Sift. I love that company. But Nate, I found a hole that I could fix for him. And I knew going into a market fresh, I'd be having to find buyers, pull new data, all this stuff. So I told Nate, as collateral, I'll give you all my data in Florida. And I said, we work your data in Tennessee since you already have it. Matter of fact, I'll work it, I'll call it, and I'll close them. And he had already had leads coming through because he was doing some SEO, he was doing all this other marketing. So Nate said, you know, let's just do a deal by deal. I said, perfect. Let's JV on every single thing. So joint venture, for those of you that don't know, you just partner up deal by deal basis, nothing formal written up. It's just an agreement per deal. So we sign a couple, we get a couple deals. December, I call his list and I'm just going 200 single line dialing because it's the most effective way that I found.
You're getting about 200 dials a day?
200 property contacts.
Okay.
So I'm dialing probably, I can't give you the rough numbers, but it's, if there's like five numbers per contact, you know, roughly I'm hitting 400, 500 dials a day. So just boom, hitting the phones. And to me, I've always kind of liked it, that challenge.
You're
so,
putting in actual work, by the way, for people listening. That's not an easy thing to do, to sit there.
Yeah, no, there's no VAs at this point, no nothing. It's Nate and I. And our partnership is based on the fact that deal by deal basis.
And you have to close deals. You have to add value.
I have to close the deal. And so time is kind of an essence because you don't want to look like a fool. Nope. And so I'm hammering the phone. I'm waking up, doing my morning routine, going to the gym, getting that stuff done. Boom. 7 o'clock at night, hammering out the phone. Anyways, it pays off. One deal, two deal, three deal, lock it up. And so three deals within the first month. And Nate's like, this kid's on fire. And I was like, man, I've never had this luck before. So keep in mind, I've never locked up three deals in 1 month. Mm-mm. Like never. And that's where that old saying, you know, compound interest and, you know, compounding your skills and compounding your habits. One day, all it took was just a catalyst, boom. And it was just compounding after compounding. Long story short, it was three deals we locked up. We sold like a mobile home on a decent lot. We sold two lots. And then we had locked up a third property. And it was just kind of rocket fuel from there. And then we were kind of like we knew these deals would close in January. We said, how do we scale this? A lot of people talk about systems and scaling, but they don't really tell you how to do that. So we didn't want to go to a company because Nate had already used one and they were just headhunters. They were, you know, there's an $8 fee for this one person, but they're capturing a $4 fee on top of that. So they're making $4 profit. Meanwhile, you're paying $12. So we start putting some ads out on Craigslist. We found some sweet cold callers.
But break that down. You put the ads out on Craigslist where?
So it has nothing to do really with, it does have actually everything to do with tonality. So I've had Filipino cold callers before. We actually have two amazing Filipino VAs. Mm-hmm. They are awesome. They are the hardest working people. They actually work 10-hour shifts. They love it. They can't get enough. We actually have to tell them to cool it down because like they're like, I'm so tired. I'm like, please stop.
Take a rest, buddy, man. You earned it. Yeah.
We actually had to give them a paid day off
because they weren't going to stop. Hey, they just wanted to keep working.
Yeah. We were just like, hey, we'll give you a paid day off. Like, please stop working. Go hang out with your family. So we had this amazing VA. She started out with us at the beginning. And all she did was literally like data cleaning. And what does that look like? You know, fixing addresses, you know, when you pop up your data list, you buy your list there. She's just cleaning it up, uploading it into RESIF.
Is there an automated way to do that? Or is she just like literally going line by line? And how does she know if an address is messed up?
So that's a little bit more complicated. But essentially when you buy your list, this is more or less a big deeper dive into it. And you know, this is where I have to mention REISIFT again. I'm not a paid sponsor or anything, but Tyler Austin does a great job at like showing you how to do that. That whole website, you can do complete records and incomplete records. She would scrub the incomplete. So you've seen it before, you know, I don't know, my company, United Real Estate Investments, LLC, you'll see it under properties, right? You'll see limited partnerships and, you know, some skip tracing platforms like batch skip tracing, some can't skip trace those because mm-hmm. you need an owner's name and a mailing. So she would go in and she'd literally clean them all. She'd put the name in there, make sure, you know, you could keep the business name, but that way the system could recognize to be able to skip trace it. So she would mainly do that, but she was mainly cleaning the data. So that's why I say we don't really have any VAs at that time. I mean, we don't have any cold callers. She's cleaning the data.
Yeah.
She did amazing work. She's still with us. But anyways, Nate had her before I hopped on. So one thing that we did before was Nate kind of handled the, Nate used to be supply chain manager. So he's very systematic and like operations based. So we said, what are we looking for? Nate said, you know, I want some Costa Rican, Spanish, like like bilingual, who have like, who can speak perfect English, because that's really important when you're on your phone. I mean, I still struggle. It's just what it is.
You still struggle speaking English? Calling. It's hard. Just kidding.
when somebody picks up the phone and like I hear like something about like my bank account, I'm on edge. And if I don't hear that it's like American, mm-hmm. I'm a little bit on edge, because you see all these scam videos. So how do you think they're somebody's biggest asset? Like,
you're, yeah, someone from the Philippines is calling and saying, would you like to sell your house? And you're like, yeah, would you also like my social security number with it?
Yeah. Yeah. So anyways, a lot of these people from Costa Rica, they speak like fluent English, from Spanish, from Mexico, they speak fluent English. They're hard workers. And, you know, we picked up four members, four cold callers. And we sourced them all ourselves.
From the Craigslist ads, right?
Yeah.
So you...
We got a ton.
You did. I just want to break down this part of the story because it's a very unique aspect. And I love the twist you put on it. It's a really smart play. You set up Craigslist ads in Costa Rica for cold callers, right? It's not... You didn't do a... I just wanted to preface that because it's a really smart move. I love what you did. But you didn't set up an ad in Florida looking for Costa Rican cold callers. It would have given you really different results. So I love that you made that move, and I just wanted to make sure people heard that, because I think that was that's a unique part of the story.
Yeah, yeah. So we got four cold callers out of it. One's from Belize, one's from the Dominican Republic, one's from Mexico City, and one's actually from Jamaica. And I'm telling you, we got lucky. We hit some gems. Two of them have degrees. One of them is working to become a doctor. And then the other one has been in real estate for 20 years doing land deals. And all these people are just assassins on the phone. Now, keep in mind, they're not good at closing yet, but they are amazing. Vanya, one of our other ladies, she had been in timeshare.
Wow. Timeshare, right? Yeah, she sold timeshares, right? Is that correct?
Yeah. And she's like very aggressive, like on the phone, not like aggressive to where you
she'll force them right into selling, huh?
When she smells blood, she's like, oh yeah, tell me more. Like, just a phone assassin. She's awesome. But they're all great. And then actually we just implemented our two data ladies who are in the Philippines. They're amazing. It's literally low barrier to entry. All they do is clean data. And then sometimes they'll skip trace like contractors for us and all this stuff. And then actually we felt like we wanted to give them more responsibility and be a bigger part of our team, because we didn't want it to be two different sectors.
You right.
know? You got the cold callers and you got the people working on data. No, we wanted to kind of like co-mingle it to where everybody felt like family. So we actually started having them do our SMS, and they're amazing. They are amazing at it. And actually circulates back through to where we're not texting those people who aren't interested again. We're not texting the people who opted out. We're cleaning the numbers where people say wrong number, dude. And we're marking those numbers so we don't text those numbers again. And if all the records get exhausted, we just have the ladies clean it again. Boom. Find the person.
That's cool.
That's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's huge because it cleans itself. And so that's what we're working with right now. And I went from calling, man, like 12 hours a day, maybe 10 hours a day, to probably calling like maybe 4 to 2 hours, depending on how many appointments I have. And it's mostly at the end of the day. And then I'll do some spot checks. I'll listen to some recordings. But they really did free up my time. And that's the importance of a team, to like wrap the team.
Totally.
Wrap the team up, give them some roles. And, I mean, even Nate, like his time's freed up a little bit more. We're trying to automate the construction side as well.
Well, now, you know, both of you guys aren't the technicians. If we're talking in terms of like the email, you guys are not the technicians in your business anymore, right? There's a lot of impact that comes from that, because one VA at a time or one employee at a time, however people decide to grow, that employee expense in the company actually buys you back your time. Right. I think people need to remember that. It is, of course, hard to make those jumps. it's hard to justify that first payroll cost for an employee or a VA or whatever. But it's, you're not spending it for the role, really. You're buying back your time. And every time you buy back your time, you're able to work on your business more. And if you look at just the story you just told us, right? Started off with somebody who cleaned data. Well, guess what? Now guess who doesn't have to clean data anymore? Cody. Cody doesn't have to clean data anymore. Who gets to spend more time on the phones, closing more deals, which is really what you're good at? Cody, you close more deals, you have more money to spend on more people. You put them into place. Then what? You had more time to spend on the processes and systems. You got them all flowing. You got them working. And now you just close deals, right? That's where you're, that's your $1,000 an hour task. That's where you should be spending all your time, is closing the deals, because that's what you're the best at. Same thing for Nate. Eventually you're going to get him to the point where he's going to spend his time doing whatever it is he's best at in the construction process. And then all of a sudden, boom, 12 months later, you guys will be multimillionaires.
And that's a great point. And actually, it's weird because you go through levels in life where before I couldn't see that I was buying myself more time. I was like, man, this cold caller is expensive and it's not that great, but everything kind of falls on you. Like, you got to train that person, mm-hmm. Train them right.
Totally.
If you want to get your time back. And not only that, a lot of people, what they end up doing is throwing a lot of stuff to their VAs or to their, you know, people that they work with, and just throwing stuff with no systems or processes, or they've never done it before. And their team really struggles. And me personally, I've done everything before. I've done it all before. So I know what we're looking for. I give them scripts. I give them stuff to succeed. And not only that, we build it out. Nate and I do first, and then we give it to them. So like cold calling, built it out, waited 3 months, gave them texting. Now we're going to move on to SEO. And then we're probably going to go on to more stuff, sending out flyers or whatever, pamphlets. Going back to your whole point, I mean, now we have time to think about this stuff, and it's not 8 o'clock and I'm like, I'm done. I'm drained.
Yeah. Cold calling fries your brain, man. Yeah. It fries you.
Yeah.
So, well, cool. Let's do a quick deal deep dive. Do you have a specific deal that you want to talk about, that you think would be an interesting deal for the listeners to hear?
I do. This one actually, we just closed on it. So to give context, we try to wholesale with strict parameters.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We wholesale the deals that are very, you know, dilapidated, you know, floor joists got to rip back up because there's a time, expense, you know,
totally.
Age. It takes too much time, takes too much money. You're better off with a wholesale. Personally, that's what we do. And I know a lot of people do agree with that. So if we could turn and burn some capital, we're in the capital stage right now, building that capital. So this deal that we kind of came across, I mean, you could check it out on my Instagram, but
is it the one where the wall hinges out?
The what?
Is it the one where the whole entire exterior wall hinges out?
No, that was bad. We didn't buy that one. We didn't, that's a teardown. The one where this guy, we had gotten contact with him and he said, yeah, absolutely, I'd sell my property on heartbeat. And I'm looking at the price and I didn't even really bother, like, you know, I gave him a little tug and pull, like, ah, you know, you sure you could do that price? Like, all right, you know, what if we do this? What if we pay for closing? Negotiated a little bit. And we got him to the table after like three appointments, hopped on a phone, recorded myself real quick. And I asked him, I always ask everybody, it's very important. Like, we call this one-leggers in the sales. It's where there's a husband and wife. The husband's all in, but the wife's not. That's a one-legger. Don't try to close one-leggers. Sometimes they work, but 90% of the time they blow up. So I asked him, hey, did your wife say yes? Can I get your verbal confirmation? You talked to her. Yeah, you know, I talked to her. Cool. Recording myself, going through my pitch, doing all this stuff. Get him to the close. His wife walks in. I'm on the phone and he's like, what are you doing?
Who are you talking to? It's Cody from State Farm.
Literally, you can hear like the stress and like just cut through the air. You can tell he was like, nothing. She's like, what is that?
You're starting to sing like it's a song. that he's listening to.
Oh my God. I just sat there quiet. And she's like, is that the purchase and sale? You're not selling that property. Long story short, she blew up on him on the phone and he still signed it.
And
I was like,
might as well sell the house before the divorce, man.
Yeah, something didn't feel right. And I'm like, okay, it's either, it was only in his name, but you know, I had been calling him back and calling him back. Hey man, you know, we really need to check this property. We're going to wholesale it.
Mm-hmm.
For those of you that don't know wholesale, you know, it's not a wholesale. You go buy it and then you close it on the market. But either way, we're going to go wholesale it. I'm trying to get an appointment to let Nate in and he doesn't answer. Boom. Doesn't answer. Anyways, I end up calling him back. He answers at like 8 o'clock at night. And I'm like, hey man, you know, we've been trying to get a hold of you. Like, can we check out this property? He's like, no, I try to get in contact with my wife, you know, blah, blah, blah. I said, can you just give me her number? He's like, I'll give you the tenant's number too. And I'm like, no, just give me her number. So I call the wife up and she's like, who is this? And I'm like, oh, this is Cody. You know, we locked up that property. Just want to make sure everybody's on board. I didn't even know you guys locked that property up. There's a tenant in there she's a single family mom and she has a kid in there and you know, she's on like welfare and Section 8 and all that stuff. And I was like, man, I'm glad you told me that because I can't proceed with this. And I told her, I said, you know, we put some money out for this property. Do you have anything else that you'd want to sell? And she said, yes, I do. I would sell you this property. And it was like right down the street. She ended up selling it to us for like half the purchase price of the other one.
It was probably in better shape too, huh?
It wasn't in better shape, but it was a better spread. And she's like, yeah, she's like, 80,000 it's yours. And I said, hey, just, you know, push pull. I said, hey, you know, my partner came back, you know, our contractor did the scope. We're going to need to buy this for around 60. She's like, all right, done. I'm like, holy cow. Okay. Lock it up. Boom. He signs, she signs. And so going into this deal, we're still working on it right now. We just, we closed on it, I think a week or two ago, and new roof. It's going to be fully gutted just because it's the old plaster. So we have like very cheap, or not cheap guys, but cheap labor that does the drywall. I think it's like 22 per board hanging.
It's not bad at all.
It's not bad at all. So 900 square foot, we in-housed our electrician, all that good stuff. So I think we're going to put 50 or 60,000 into it. That's including new everything though. So like new roof, new, what is it called on the outside? Drawing a blank, vinyl, mm-hmm. Vinyl siding, new doors, new windows, vanity, flooring, all that good stuff, paint, and then trimming up the trees. But it's a cute little house. Got it for 60, and I think we're going to list it in the 280s, I think. 280, 290s.
It's awesome.
So amazing little property. But as far as that, yeah, that was an amazing deal. And me personally, I didn't want to cancel that deal, but I knew morally I had to. But I also knew they had other properties. And I was trying to look out for our staff because we pay them commission. And she wasn't getting a deal for like the first month, but it's almost like you wanted to make a dream come true. And so I was like, so glad that we locked it up because now we get to pay her a commission. And she was stoked. She's like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad. But that was.
So what was the lead source? What was the lead source on that deal?
Cold calling.
Cold calling. Do you know what kind of list you were calling?
I'd have to go back with that one. Because that one, we didn't really get that from a list. We got that from, I think it was actually, don't quote me on it, but it might've been a code violation with that other property that we were working on, but somehow she was in our database. And we never contacted them for this other property.
Oh, so, nice.
Code violations, I believe.
Oh, that's right. There was the first property would have been in your database, but really not necessarily the second one. So, mm-hmm. Well, cool, dude. Well, this has been a really fun episode. We're running out of time here because we've got to try to cut it right at an hour. But there's a few questions that I wanted to ask you before we wrap up this this show. So I'd like to end the show with a series of questions. I think this helps provide perspective to a lot of the motivation that keeps guys like you going, because real estate is a constant roller coaster of emotions. Deals come and go, they close, they don't, they fall apart, and random stuff will come to you. And so it's a hard industry to keep level-headed emotions in. So these questions kind of give some insight to how you do it. So I'm curious on what is your perspective, or what does it, paint me a picture of what it looks like for you to, what does chasing freedom mean to you? What does that look like?
Yeah, that's a great question. And again, everybody's is going to vary, but to be honest, I really have always wanted to just travel the world with my family, and be able to own homes in the states that I want to live, and just do Airbnbs with all of them, and out of the country. So like Costa Rica, in-state Washington, and then, you know, Florida, and just be able to travel the world that way, and then just do whatever I want. But also being able to like help family. I want to keep this business going because I've seen a lot of potential, whether it's helping my family, like my mom and dad, or helping our neighbors try to find a house. Like that feels really good internally when you can do that. But that's, to me, that's what chasing freedom kind of is.
I love that, man. That's actually a pretty unique answer from what most people give. And I like that. I like that. You're pretty clear on it too, which is cool. Okay, cool. So the next thing I want to ask you is, if you lost everything today, properties were gone, you have no more projects on the board, you have no VAs, you have no systems, you don't have any of the tools that you currently have, what would you do to get it back?
Oh man, you're asking the right question, because I've restarted 3 times. So this is the first thing. Bootstrapping is so important because it teaches you concepts of how to spend your money properly. So first things first, I'm getting a Google Voice number. And this is the second thing I'm doing. I'm going to my local county and I'm pulling a code violation list. You talk about like driving for dollars. That's great. That's amazing list. That's actually our number one list. But even if you don't have any money to go drive around, code violations or free data from the county, boom, doing that. And then I'm going to manual skip trace, depending on, you know, how much money certain people have. I'm either going to skip trace or manually call it and then Google Voice it all the way. My number gets fried, I'm buying another one. Okay, cool. And then I just upgrade my systems from there. And then I'm going to networking events to find cash buyers at the same time. Some people say, you know, build your cash buyers. Some people say find leads. Do both. Just do both. I would structure leads first. You don't have leads, nobody cares.
Yep.
That's literally the exact thing I would do, and just hammer away mm-hmm. at that. And then most people fail at the beginning a lot because of their follow-up. So you get a lead, follow up with them every single day. If they're hot, if they're cold, weekly. That's what I would do. And that's legit 90% of what we still do. And it works amazing.
And that's the foundation that you actually build an entire marketing and acquisitions company off of. It's calling leads, right? So you figure out how to do it yourself. You figure out how do you get phone numbers? How do you track this stuff? How do you follow up with it? The acquisitions doesn't change no matter what scale you're at. It just gets bigger.
No.
So I love that.
No.
Last question for you. Do you have any books or podcasts that have helped you along your journey here in real estate that you would recommend to other people?
I really don't listen to much podcasts. I mean, I listen to yours. I've heard a couple bigger pockets, but I don't know. Podcasts are great. But I just don't listen to a lot of real estate, mainly because I noticed at a time it took me away from what really mattered, and it made me so distracted of other people's success.
Totally.
Like I would get shiny object syndrome. So I had to pull back. I barely listen to podcasts, but as far as reading, you're secluded with that book and people are training you. Right now I'm reading, Oren Claff. It's a pitch anything, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
And that's an amazing book. Obviously Rich Dad Poor Dad, you have to throw that in there. And then my all time favorite, I'd have to say, is Chris Voss, Never Split the Difference. If you want to get into acquisitions and sales and kind of just learn how to structure, either what you're saying or how to present. It's an amazing book. Those are my top three, though.
Yeah, sure. I think I've read Never Split the Difference 3 times now. And as you were saying it, I was just thinking, I was like, man, I'm going to go talk to Justin after this show. I think we need to revisit the book again.
Yeah, so we do. It's a great training book.
Yeah, it's amazing. Well, brother, this was a really fun episode. I appreciate you spending your time to jump on here and share some of your thoughts, your wisdom, and your journey with the listeners. Is there a way that people can get a hold of you if they want to reach out to you?
Yeah, absolutely. You could reach out on my Instagram or Facebook. It is just Cody Kuehle, Cody, and then Kewley. Facebook and Instagram is pretty much, I don't use Twitter. I don't use anything else. Yeah, let's just connect. If you're in Florida, I'd love to connect with you. In Tennessee, absolutely. But that's pretty much it.
Cool, man. Sweet. Well, thanks again for jumping on, and we'll see you around next time. All right. Thanks for tuning into this week's episode, you guys. For more awesome real estate content, you can check out my Instagram. It's just NoahEvans_real estate. It'll also be in the show notes. If you want to reach out to the guest, their contact information and websites and however else to get a hold of them will also be in the show notes. All of our podcast episodes get thrown up to YouTube. And for more awesome exclusive content, please go check out the website. We'll have that link in the show notes below as well. All right. Peace.